This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's Friday the 13th, but how about this? Some markets are rebounding. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. After wiping out $8 trillion this week, financial markets are seeing some relief today. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is up 2.3% this morning. U.S. stock futures are pointing to a 3% move higher at the opening bell on Wall Street. Shares in Asia, though, fell sharply after U.S. stocks saw their worst day since 1987 yesterday. The question for Michael Hewson, then chief market strategist at CMC Markets, is will this reprieve last?
I'm doubtful. We've seen some big falls. We closed at the end of last week at 6,460 on the FTSE. We're now 5,340.50. So we're still massively lower. We are seeing a modest rebound, but we saw a modest rebound on Tuesday and that didn't hold. The weakest parts of the market still look very worrying. Airlines are still down. EasyJet's down over 5%. British Airways is down just over 3%. So there's still pockets of weakness there. And I think if you're going to be looking for a rebound, you really need to look at sectors that are most exposed to the economic cycle for evidence of that. And I'm not seeing it at the moment.
We've seen financial watchdogs in the UK, Spain, Italy, South Korea, all cracking down on short selling, which essentially means investors profit from bets a company's share price will fall. Will that help relieve some pressure in the market?
If they'd done it a week or so ago, yes. Now it's too little, too late. The damage is done. Italian banks are down 50% already. What it might do is prompt a little bit of a short squeeze higher, but ultimately short selling bans need to be used sparingly. They don't address the underlying issues that are facing the global economy at the moment. And that's concerns that we could see the global economy grind to a halt.
And part of what causes the economy to grind to a halt, consumers play a big role in that. And I lived in New York before I moved here to London, so I'm still on a lot of restaurant email lists. And I've been waking up this morning to lots of restaurants that you would not normally take out from emailing saying, we're going to do delivery, you don't need to come into the restaurant. We've seen central banks this week lowering interest rates, making loans easier. But these tools don't really help businesses worried their cities will go on lockdown, which will dry up consumer revenues, right?
Correct. And that's the biggest concern. Yesterday, the UK government suggests that the peak for the coronavirus might not happen for another 10 to 14 weeks. Well, that's another 3 months. So it's 3 months where consumer discretionaries like restaurants, cinemas and the like are going to see a significant hit to their incomes if people stay at home. And if you take that view that there's at least another 3 to 6 months in this, then an awful lot of these companies are going to need bridging finance. And that's where the banks come in. So I think it's incumbent on politicians to come up with a coherent fiscal response to help otherwise robust businesses ride this out. Because otherwise you could see a very different consumer landscape 6 months from now.
We'll take the weekend to breathe, maybe support a small business or two. Michael Hewson, Chief Market Strategist at CMC Markets. Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria.
With brutal selling like we've seen so far this week, now is when we start hearing about parts of the financial market we don't normally delve into. Today, we're breaking down moves in one important corner, the credit market. Don't touch that dial yet. Mohamed Alarian is Chief Economic Advisor at Allianz. He first explains what the credit market is.
The credit market connects companies looking for funding with investors able and willing to lend their money at some risk, but to get paid more money.
Now, investors have been worried about how the coronavirus outbreak is going to impact the global economy. Now, we're starting to see investors having difficulty finding buyers for these bonds that they want to sell. What does that mean?
It's the equivalent of all of us trying to exit through a very small door. So you have a bunch of people looking to sell. On the other side, very few people are willing to buy. And then the excitement starts because if you are managing someone else's money and they want their cash, If you're not able to sell what you want to sell, you'll sell what you can sell.
And what happens after that? Does this mean that we might start seeing companies declare bankruptcy and go bust because they don't have access to cash?
So on the investment grade side, the big signal was given earlier this week when Boeing drew down fully its 12 billion plus credit line. So people immediately said, wow, if Boeing is doing that, what about the others? On the other side, the most vulnerable right now are small energy companies, because they are dealing with a massive decline in oil prices, and they tend to be very highly indebted. So keep an eye on those companies, and then you're going to keep an eye on smaller airlines and small cruise lines. The ones that are getting hit very hard on the revenue side, some of them have maturing debt, and they're going to face a really rough time.
How worried should average investors be?
The good news is that the banking system and the payments and settlement system, they are rock solid right now in the United States. So the problem is not the banks. However, risk doesn't disappear. It morphs and migrates. And over the last few years, it has migrated to what's called the non-banks, what other people call the shadow banking system. It is a sector that engages in borrowing and lending, but it's not banks. Now, it is not as vital to the economy as the banks are, so this is not a massive heart attack like 2008 was of the financial system, but it is a big hit to the economy. So it will make the economic problems worse. And if it tips companies that are fine from a solvency issue but need liquidity, then this liquidity problem becomes a solvency problem. So we've got to keep an eye on that. But it's not the banks. It's really important to stress. It's not the banks. It's not the payments and settlement system.
It's not the systemically important institutions, in other words.
Correct.
The man with his finger on the pulse, Mohammed Elarian, Chief Economic Advisor at Allianz. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
After this week, we could all use a bit of good news. So how about this? $20,000 found in an English safe at a scrap metal site in England has been donated to two hospice charities. One of the recipients said the charity relies on donations, so treasure like this really does make a big difference. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.